to Angela. Check the circuit schematic, Angie. It should be all green now. It's amber. No, it's gone to green. Her voice sounded jubilant. Okay, fire the jets. 1 second burst. Just see if they actually work. Firing. Theo saw a puff glitter from the nearest jet. Cold nitrogen gas immediately dissipating into the vacuum of space. Works fine, Angela sang out. Okay, said Theo. Check the spin program and slave the jet controls to it. I'm heading in. 2 years ago. Even 1 year ago, he wouldn't have trusted Angela to get it right. But she's grown a lot, Theo thought. Then he grinned to himself. So have I guess. He got as far as the open outer hatch of the airlock. Then his earphones crackled. Unidentified vessel. This is Vogeltot. Do you need assistance?
At first, Valka was disappointed that the ship on his main screen wasn't his quarry, Hunter. But it was a ship, running silent, no signals coming out of it, either before the solar storm or now after it. Is she a derelict? Valka wondered aloud. Nico, sitting at the communications console, said, I can hail her. Valka thought it over for about a second, then replied, Do that, politely, according to the rules. Nico grinned as he pressed his transmission key. Unidentified vessel, he called, his voice light and sweet. This is Vogeltot. Do you need assistance? No answer. Only the crackle of interference from the natural background emissions of the sun and stars. Then, this is the ore ship Syracuse, a young voice shouted eagerly. Yes, we've been damaged and we urgently need help. Put them on screen, Valka commanded. Nico made an elaborate shrug. No visual, only voice, and it's kind of weak, like it's a suit radio, not the ship's comm system. Valka leaned on the comm key built into his command chair's armrest. Syracuse, we hear you. You're damaged, you say? Yes, sir. We've been on a powerless trajectory for almost 4 years now, ever since we were attacked. Attacked? By who? We don't know. The attacker slagged our antennas so we couldn't call for help. I'm talking to you through a suit radio. Nico half stood at his console and took a little bow. The other crewman razzed him. We'll rendezvous with you, said Valker, waving to the crew to be quiet. How many aboard your vessel? Rendezvous will be tricky, sir. Our radar's out. We're blind as well as deaf and dumb. That's all right. We'll match vectors and board you. How many in your crew? There's just my mother, my sister, and me. Valker's smile showed almost all his teeth. Hold tight. I'll come aboard myself. That's great. That's wonderful. Valker cut the connection and his crew whooped with glee. Two women and only one man to protect them. He sounds like a kid. Keep your pants on, you apes, Valker said, raising one hand to silence them. Nico, check the IAA registration for Syracuse. Kirk, match our vector with theirs. Get us close enough for me to jump across in a suit.
You? By yourself?
That's right. I don't want you baboons scaring the ladies. Before they could complain, he added, or making the lads suspicious. Easy does it. They're not going anywhere without us.
Theo was so excited it took him 3 tries to punch out the code on the wall pad that controlled the airlock. He stood fidgeting inside his spacesuit as the lock cycled from vacuum to normal air pressure. All fatigue forgotten, all the worries and fears that he had carried inside him like a gnawing tumor for more than 3 years, gone, disappeared. We're saved, he kept telling himself. We're saved. We're saved. In his helmet earphones, he heard his mother and sister bubbling. It's a miracle, Angie said, her voice brimming with joy. I never thought it could happen, Pauline said, just as elated. In all this emptiness, to run into another ship. Theo heard his mother's voice catch, sensed her struggling to hold back tears. When he finally clomped out of the airlock, Angela and Pauline were both half out of their spacesuits, down to nothing but their leggings. As soon as he pulled the helmet off his head, they both wrapped their arms around his neck and broke into wet, blubbering sobs. Theo wanted to dance a jig, but they were pressing too close to him, and he was afraid of tramping on their feet. "We're saved, Theo. We're saved," his mother said. "You've brought us through it." "We did it together, Mom. You, Angie, and me." Angie said, "Let's get these leggings off and put on some clean clothes. I want to look presentable. You too, Mom." Pauline laughed through her tears. "Yes. Yes, of course. We want to look our best." Ore ship Syracuse, living quarters. Valker beamed a brilliant smile as he sat in the cushioned armchair that Theo had avoided using since his father had left them. It had been his father's chair, but now Valker sat in it, perfectly at ease, a big-shouldered, handsome, smiling stranger in a hodgepodge of a uniform that seemed to be made up of odd bits and pieces from half a dozen other outfits. "Very comfortable quarters you have here," said Valker smoothly. Pauline had put on a clean set of pale blue coveralls that complemented her sandy hair nicely. Angela was wearing an actual dress, something she hadn't done since they'd left Ceres. Theo was shocked to see how really good-looking his sister was, and how Valker stared admiringly at her. Angie had pinned up her hair and put on lip gloss. She had also left the top three buttons of her dress open. Valker seemed especially impressed with her breathing. Pauline sat on the sofa, her daughter beside her. "I'm afraid we don't have much food left," she said. "We've been rationing it out all these months to make it last long enough for us to get back to Ceres." "I understand," Valker said, his eyes never leaving Angie. Sitting nervously on the edge of the smaller armchair, on the other end of the coffee table from Valker, Theo said, "It's a good thing we were in our suits when you hailed us. Otherwise, we wouldn't have known you were nearby." "Oh, we would have boarded you anyway," said Valker. "We're in the salvage business. At first, we thought your vessel had been abandoned, like so many others in the belt."
"Salvage business?" Pauline asked.
"It's not much, but it's a living for me and my poor excuse of a crew." "How many in your crew?" Theo asked. "There's 9 of us, plus me. I'm the skipper."
"How many women?" asked Pauline.
Valker shook his head. "None. Women cause trouble on long missions. They don't mean to, but men just naturally start to compete over them." Theo understood.
"I guess that's normal, unless you're family."
"You bet it is." Angela spoke up.
"Are your men homosexuals?"
Pauline glared at her daughter. Valker threw his head back and hooted laughter. "My crew? No, not at all. Quite the opposite." Still chuckling, he added, "Although, after they've been out on a mission long enough, they'll take whatever they can get." Angela flushed, but said,
"You wouldn't do that, would you?"
"I haven't had to. So far."
Theo wanted to make Angie disappear. She's giving this stranger all the wrong impression, he thought. Pauline changed the subject. "If you could give us some propellant for our fusion drive, we could get back to Ceres within a few weeks or less."
"Certainly," said Valker. "No problem. We'll repair your antennas, too, so you can communicate again."
"No need for that," Theo said.
"You're wrong, lad. You can't go barreling into the Ceres sector deaf, dumb, and blind. There's too much traffic in the region. It'd be dangerous for you and all the others."
Theo glanced at his mother and saw that she didn't want Valker's men coming aboard Syracuse either. "We appreciate your willingness to help," Pauline began.
Theo interrupted, "I can go back to your ship with you. If you'll give me a spare antenna from your stores, I can bring it back here and set it up, no sweat."
But Valker shook his head once more.
"It's not that easy, son. We don't have spare antennas. Our antennas are built into the ship's hull, just like yours. But we have the materials to lay down a new set of antennas for you. Materials and men to do the job."
"I can do the job myself if you just give me the materials," Theo said.
Valker looked at him, smiling toothily. "I understand. You're scared to let my men aboard your vessel. 2 beautiful women and 9 hungry men, right?"
10 men, Theo corrected, including you.
"Including me," That's right, Valker acknowledged, laughing. But you don't